Amen. Welcome to everyone here, friends and guests. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see Pastor Sherwin this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you with us today. Amen. And is this, you have your family with you today? Nice to meet you, Tony. I've met Angela, I do believe. I saw you sitting over there, and right away, you know it's Pat's daughter, yes. It's good to have you here. Thanks for coming. All the way from Ohio, right? Yeah, that's nice to spend time with Mom and Dad. All right. Well, we're going to get started this morning. I look over at this good-looking group this morning. Smiles on your faces. Even though the problems in the world are huge, hallelujah, we can still smile because we know God is on the throne, right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence today, Lord. We thank you that as we look at this word in Genesis, Lord, that you bring revelation and understanding to us, Lord, about the kingdom of God. Thank you for every saint that's gathered. Thank you for every saint that's going to listen to this. Lord, thank you for those that are searching for you that will be listening to this message, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you're drawing us closer to you. You're giving us clarity and an understanding about your kingdom. And may your kingdom come and your will be done today in our lives in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Well, like I said, in the midst of everything going on, you know, we've heard there's a worldwide travel warning now, and people are being encouraged to stay close to home. And regardless of all of that, I don't know if you try and keep up with the latest developments of what's going on in Israel. We talked some about that last week. But if we stay focused on that, we're going to miss what God is doing in the kingdom right now. You know, the enemy causes all kinds of distractions to get us to look another way. And if any time in our lives, if this is the time the devil wants to get the church off track. Because the church is the ecclesia, and the ecclesia is the ruling instrument in the earth. And once we really realize the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is on the inside of us when we come into unity and agreement, you know, the enemy wants to stop us. So he'll say, look over here, look over there, and cause this disruption and that disruption. And you know, I'm looking at some of the protests going on in the United States where people are cheering on Hamas and all of the killings that they did. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and he said, they're under a strong delusion. It's a delusion. There is no way you can logically think that what they have done is okay. And even to do it with their cameras on and videotaping the murder and the slaughter and the rape of women and then putting it online. They say you can find them everywhere. I haven't looked for any. I don't want to see any. We know that the devil is a killer, right? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. We know who they're working for, right? And then I heard on the news, I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of naive probably, but they actually have specific drugs that these men take to do what they do. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, my. Specific drugs to cause them to do what they do. And so that helps kind of explain how a person could be so barbaristic. So horrific of crimes, they're not even in their right mind because they're giving them drugs to do these things. So you see how ruthless the enemy is and how much he hates people. I mean, he hates people whether you're a Christian or not. He hates you whether you're a Jew or not. He'd just as soon see everybody dead because we're created in God's image. Hallelujah. And we're created after his likeness. And we have a specific kingdom purpose here in the earth today. And that is to release the power and the presence of God through our lives. And most of the time we study the kingdom of God by looking at the words of Jesus. And there's lots to learn from Jesus about the kingdom of God. And so, but this morning, I just want to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to take a look at Abraham's journey, because that's where it all began, amen, where God identified and began to bring forth his people. And so that's in Genesis 12. And in the book of Genesis, when you look at Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11, that the first sections of Genesis talk about creation and deal with Noah and the flood. And we talked a little bit about how that violence was on the earth. And people were evil continually. And that's why God destroyed all the people except for Noah and his family. And then it goes right up to the Tower of Babel. And then once again, we had people coming together, and they were actually setting up an occult worship center at the top of this Tower of Babel. They were building it so they could reach heaven. Well, it wasn't to reach the Lord God Almighty. It was to reach their gods. And there were many occult practices going on. And the Lord said, you know, when people put their minds together and they're in unity, they can accomplish anything. So I'm just going to mess this up. I'm going to send different languages among the people so they can't understand each other. And that's how that got broke up. God broke that up. So it just shows the power that's in unity. When we're all of one mind, what we can accomplish together doesn't take a whole lot of people. It just takes a lot of people who agree. Somebody say amen. Amen. When we agree together on anything here in the earth, we can accomplish that, because when it's God's will, then it's released from heaven. Is that what the scripture says? Amen. And it only takes two or three, right? So within your own household, you can agree on a lot of things to see God's kingdom come in your own household. Come on. That's why it's so important that families are in unity, that husbands and wives pray together. The scripture clearly says if a husband is not in unity with his wife, his prayer's not going to be heard. Is that right? Is that the word? God's pretty specific about the importance of being as one, in one mind, working together for the glory of God. Not to accomplish what we want, but someone say it's for the Lord. Our whole life is for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12 and look at some kingdom principles and Abraham's journey. And the scripture says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. So the first thing we see is that Abraham was called out. God said, leave. And so one of the very first things that happens to us is God calls us out of the world. There's this awakening on the inside of us that the way that we are living is not the way we should be living. It's that conviction of sin. And God calls us out. He says, leave. Leave. And he's not asking Abram to leave, fluffy things that he would leave behind anyway. Simple things. It's kind of like you say, oh, I'll go on a fast. Okay, let's see. I'm going to fast. And you start fasting specific foods you don't even like anyway. No, God didn't ask easy things of Abram, did he? He said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. And so that's quite a sacrifice, don't you think? So Jesus, you know, we're tempted to think, well, that still doesn't apply. But let's take a look in the New Testament what Jesus says in Luke 14, 25 to 28. The scripture says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else in comparison. Your father and mother, your wife and children, your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. Jesus didn't fluff it up at all. And today, a lot of emphasis is put on how wonderful it is to serve the Lord, how he helps us in every way. He's always with us. We can always count on him. He's always faithful. He gives us joy, gives us peace. And all of that is true. Say it's true. And it's a wonderful thing. And we don't talk a whole lot about the other side of it. Every day is not joy and peace. Is that true? It's the reality of our life. Every day, there's going to be some kind of conflict or some kind of problem, because Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. Anybody see any trouble this week? Trouble this week? I think this, we could just call this last week trouble. So many things going on in people's lives. So many things going on here in the church. Not anything, you know, astronomical, but it's just problems you've got to solve. And Pastor Vanessa and I, we love to solve problems, but you know, when you get too many of them, you're just like, Lord, help me here, you know? And so I was talking to some other people. I was talking to Trish Sherry, and she said, it's been a week. And I said, yeah, it has been for me too. And so we can just call this last week trouble, and we're thankful that it's gone. Hallelujah. It's passed away. We plead the blood of Jesus over it. And we, this is Sunday. Hallelujah. And this is a new start, new beginning, fresh oil, fresh vision for everybody. God's mercy is new every morning. And so we receive his mercy. So often, things are always talked about how exciting and how wonderful it is. But actually, you know, when you get saved, you enlist in the army of the Lord. Did you know that? We become good soldiers for the Lord. And this is a season of time that the army of the Lord is rising up. God is calling his soldiers into order. And he's calling our lives into order. He's calling us to line up with his word and his will and report to duty every day. We're on duty. Tell somebody we're on duty. Amen. We're in the army of the Lord. But this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said in Philippians 3, 8 through 11, he said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost a few things? All things. And I consider them rubbish. Another translation says garbage. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. We cannot make ourselves righteous. But praise God, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And then Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It is that that keeps us from giving up. You know, Paul's just said it really plain. This is not going to be a fluffy life because you're serving Jesus. Your troubles didn't all end when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Is that right? The main trouble ended that you were condemned to death. Hallelujah. And no one can save us from our sins except for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then life goes on. Tell your neighbor, life goes on. So my point is, we have to leave the kingdom of this world and everything that's in it. And there's a great pull from the kingdom of the world and the way they think and the mindsets and that secular mindset and all the brainwashing that goes on when you're in school. Come on. If you're not a solid Christian and in the Word of God, you can be deceived. And that's the spirit of this age, is the spirit of deception. Easily deceived. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ shares with us. The Holy Spirit shares with us. There's a power that's working in us, and it is called the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And he told us he would show us things to come. And so, you know, I believe in these troubled times, as we're walking through these troubled times, that God's going to show us what we need to know. And it's what we need to know. You know, we want to have a lot of details and know a lot of things. Hallelujah. Is anybody in here like that? I just want to know. Yeah. Yes. But the point is, we have to leave this world. Because we can't have dual citizenship. Does anyone in here have dual citizenship with another nation? Angela does. Yes. Germany and America. Well, God does not allow that. Either you're in the kingdom of God. I mean, he can allow that. But in the spirit realm, he doesn't allow it. Because when we come out of the world, we come into the kingdom, and we have to choose one king. He's real clear of that through the scripture. You know, it's not a, can I serve you like 95%? No, it's not how it works. He wants all of us. And I read a story about an Italian military hero. His name was Garibaldi. And it said that he raised up an incredibly committed volunteer army. And his appeal to get his recruits was very unique in the sense that he offered these terms. This was the terms of his agreement. I offer neither pay nor quarters nor provisions. I offer you hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with his heart and not with his lips only follow me. And he raised up an army of volunteers who were sold out to the cause and the purpose. And so Jesus' offer isn't a whole lot different in the sense that he said, if you love me, if you'll love me with all of your heart and not just your lips, then you can be my disciple. Come on and join me. And so God lays out the agreement. He laid out that agreement with Abram when he told him that he was to leave his native country, his father's family, and laid out all the requirements. So living in God's kingdom means a very deliberate rejection of the kingdom of the world. And it means a decision to live counterculturally. It means to choose to leave. We are going against the main flow of this world. Do you agree with that? We're going against the main flow. We are living counterculturally. But it is what God asked. He said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So are you committed to leave the world? I got one amen. Is anybody else committed to leave the world? Amen, amen. The next thing he said to him was to go. And he said, go into the land that I will show you. And I like that. He says, leave, and then he says, go. But he absolutely gives no destination to Abram. He did not know where he was going. And it's kind of like, really, God, are you joking? This is kind of terrifying, right? You want me to leave everything, my family, everything, and just go? And you're not going to tell me where we're going? How many of you like to know where you're going? And you like to know, how long is it going to get there? When the kids were little, how much longer? How much longer? Could be 5 minutes, and they're asking, how much longer? So everybody likes to know the destination, know how long it's going to get there. But you see, the picture of the kingdom of God, he gives this vague destination promise. Because every day that we serve God in the kingdom, it's a new adventure. And it's a new experience. And you're not sure what that day is going to hold. Is that right? We get up in the morning and it's good. We're determined to serve the Lord that day. We have a schedule. We should plan. But when God interrupts our schedule, we should say, okay, God. And just recognize God has us positioned in the kingdom for a reason. Was anyone's schedule interrupted this week for the kingdom? I hope so. I hope that our schedules get more and more interrupted for God appointments, for those moments in time that changes people's lives. And you know, sometimes it can be just stopping and helping someone or giving someone a smile or encouraging someone. You know, a mom struggling in the store with her kids. Hey, you're doing a good job. Do you need any help with something? And usually nowadays it's like, no, get away from me. That was something Pastor Vanessa was sharing when they moved down south, down to South Carolina. There were always gentlemen in the grocery store parking lot. When they would see a woman loading her groceries in the car, they would just come over. You know, that wasn't their job. They were just leaving, had just loaded their groceries. They'd come over and just start helping you load things. Well, when you live up here in the north, you know, you get a little suspicious if some guy comes over to your car and wants to start helping you. But she said it was so different. She said she never opened a door down south. Always a man had the door. Always. And just really watched over the women and the children. And so I'm sure there's perverts everywhere, right? But it was just a whole different way of living. So we never know what our opportunity could be to help somebody, just to give them a little lift. Have you ever needed just a little lift? When you feel so down, when you're not feeling well, when you're out and you have to go out because of responsibility and you're tired, you know, have you ever thought, I just wish somebody would help me here? And we know the Lord's with us, but isn't it nice when he sends flesh and blood and someone with strong muscles just to give you a hand? Hallelujah. So anyway, what I'm getting to is the kingdom of God is all about that walk of faith. We're not sure where we're going. You know, you can start out serving the Lord and you want to do this and you want to do that. But you know, the Lord begins to work in our heart. He begins to put us in situations. He begins to teach us and he leads us into what he wants us to do. Somebody say amen. Am I talking to the right crowd this morning? You have all these grandiose ideas. But God, he has his idea, and he knows what he wants. And so our willingness has got to be to let God be in control and trust that under his guidance, we will discover the fullness of our life. Hallelujah. That the destination, you know, God is a God of right now, and his kingdom is focused on this moment right now. Some of you are thinking about lunch. Some of you are thinking about all the work you didn't get done this weekend. Some of you are thinking about how far behind you are, the bills you need to pay. I know where your minds go. It's like your bodies are here, but you're not with me. You know, you're taking care of all kinds of stuff in your mind. And they say in your mind, you have so many files open at the same time. And so, you know, this one starts popping out. So you'll look at it. You got to pull your mind back in and focus, because the kingdom of God is right now. It's this very moment in this very room with this group of people. It's right now. His presence is right now. He wants to speak to us right now. Individually, the Holy Spirit is moving right now to speak to each one of our hearts and to put into our minds the will of God. He is always talking. He is always with us. But you know what? A lot of times we're not listening. Lord, help us to listen in the season of the kingdom, Lord, where you are establishing your presence here on the earth. I talked a little bit last week or at the women's retreat about the veil between the heavens of the divine getting thinner and thinner, where we will see divine manifestations of angels and the spirit realm. You know, that wasn't unusual in Noah's time. That was not unusual in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the Lord started speaking to me this week, and he said, and you'll see the manifestation of evil too, because we're seeing the demonic come forth in the earth like we have never seen before. He's always been here, but the Lord says that veil is just, yeah, it's just thin. And the Lord had put that in my heart a few months ago, and I was listening to Bishop at the conference this week. He spoke Monday night at the IGAP conference, and he said the same thing. He said the veil is getting very, very thin. That is what's dividing the heavens and the earth, and we're going to begin to see more and more. Jesus. You know, I'm ready to see the angels intervene on Israel's behalf. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see the army of the God of Israel fight that battle, because you cannot win against the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. So that territory is a covenant territory. It belongs to God. It belongs to God's people. And God guards Israel. He guards Jerusalem, and he is not going to let the enemy go any further than what he has already drew the boundary line. Now they can push in there, but the Lord will destroy them. It doesn't mean that the Jewish people aren't going to get hurt, because we know they are, because the devil wants to destroy them. But I do believe that it is going to help the Jewish people come to the realization that there is a Messiah, and that they need Jesus Christ. And right now, you know, we're in that space where God's dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles. But there's a time coming that Jesus is going to be done dealing with the Gentiles. He's going to be done. And he's going to turn his full face towards the Jews. And so we want to be ready for that moment when the Lord Jesus comes for us. Amen? Amen. I want to be ready. I grew up with that message. You got to be ready. Did anybody here grow up with that message? The Lord's coming and you got to be ready? Yeah. There was a young woman, she was probably 18 years old. She would always stand up in church and testify. We'd have testimony service. Anyone grow up in a church that had testimony service? And she would always say, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. You've got to get ready. The Lord is coming. And you know, we're talking, this is years and years ago. And she would say it so much, I would think, you know, I want to be ready when the Lord comes, but I do want to live. I want to have some babies. I want to marry Leonard. You know, I had a lot of things on my agenda. But there was a, she had gone to a house up in Michigan that her and her husband were buying. She went into the house not knowing there was a man in there, and he killed her. So the Lord did come for her. He did come for her. The Lord was coming for her. That was a message for her to get ready. Jesus was coming. So I have no doubt that she was with the Lord. Hallelujah. She went with Jesus. And he did come for her. But that doesn't mean, you know, that he's not coming for one of us. Could be today. We don't know the time or the hour, do we? And we don't know when the Lord Jesus will return. But we do know he's coming again. And as we see all these things come upon the earth, it should make us more earnest to share the good news of the gospel, to be about our Father's business, because we are kingdom people and we have the message that the world needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then the last point was, point three, you're blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12, 2-3 says this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So think about this. God was establishing a people that he would have covenant with that would bring forth a blessing to the whole earth. It doesn't look right now like the earth wants that blessing, does it? The people, some people of the earth. But that's why God created this nation, to bless the whole earth. If it were not for the Jews, we wouldn't have Jesus Christ, because God sent him through their lineage. You know, I went to school with a lot of Jewish people. John Adams High School in South Bend, and at that time we had a large Jewish population that went to that school. And to me, in my heart, because of the way I was raised, I always thought it was an honor to be in class with Jewish people. You know, I had no idea that they were hated so much, other than studying the Holocaust, and you really don't have any place to put that in your mind, do you? I mean, our minds are just like, where do you put that? How could somebody do that to a whole race, just kill people and experiment on them? How could they do that? It's just, you don't have any place to put that, especially when you're younger. The older you get, you see how evil the enemy is, and you put it up here with, yeah, that's the demonic. That's what the devil does. And you can't make a deal with the devil. You know, I think sometimes people think that they can play let's make a deal with the devil. I'll do this if you do that. And you know what? The devil leads people along for so long, and he might make it look like they're gonna make it. You know, you rob this bank, or you rob this person, or you stole this, you stole that, and you're getting away with it, but you never get away with it. Eventually it gets caught. Eventually you get caught, because God is a just God. And so the kingdom of God has already defeated the kingdom of darkness. That's why we could get snatched out of it. That's why we were able to leave that land that we were in and to go into the kingdom of God. That is why we have faith in God to lead us, even though we're not sure where the destination is. Pastor Leonard and I, when we started the church downtown and bought that building, and this has been an adventurous journey. You know, we didn't know the end from the beginning. We still don't. But we know God's in charge. God is leading us. God has been faithful to the River of Life family. He's blessed us above and beyond what we could even imagine. He takes care of us. And as we take care of the things that concern the Lord, he takes care of the things that concern you. Because that's how it works. Putting the Lord first. What's the scripture say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. All of them. When I think about that, I think, well, whether you need it or not. Someone says, why do you have such a big auditorium? Well, whether we need it or not, God blessed us with it. So he's adding all these things. Why are you complaining about what he's given us? Hallelujah. Just rejoice. I always say I feel just a little spoiled to have all of this space. I always wanted a big house. I got a big house. Hallelujah. Come on. Look at it differently. The blessing of the Lord. What's it do? It maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. I'll take that blessing. You take that blessing? Come on. You're getting quiet. You're thinking about these things. But one of the greatest reasons God saved us was so that we could be a blessing to other people, because he wants this to be multiplied. He wants it to be multiplied here in the earth. We should be reproducers of reproducers. We should be reproducing the kingdom of God in other people. We had an outreach on Wednesday night. I believe 5 people were led to the Lord. Is that right? I think Stephanie was there. I think 5 people were led to the Lord Wednesday night. 5 people, that's 5 more souls in the kingdom. Come on, we should get more excited about that. That is our purpose here in the earth, is to lead souls to the kingdom. And you know, we trust God to take care of them. Wendy will follow up And if she needs help following up, she'll give it to her team. But you know, God takes care of them. I can't tell you how many people we have led to the Lord, and God has positioned them in different churches. God has moved them out of the area, and there's thousands of them. I know there's thousands of them. You know, you go out and you evangelize and you want them all to come to your church. Well, you know what? God has a place for people. And you've got to let God be God. I remember we witnessed to a family. We ministered to them for over a year. We ended up doing funerals for them, weddings for them. They never came to church, but we ministered to them. And the grandma was saved, but the rest of the family wasn't. And grandma was holding that position, believing for her household. And her son and her daughter-in-law lived with them. And they had two sons, and they were all in that house, and those four were not saved. And it was probably about 10 years ago, I was at a church in Goshen at Maple City Chapel for one of the revived meetings. And this young man walked up to me, and I mean, he was big now, and he said, "Pastor Janet, do you remember me?" And I didn't remember him. But until he gave me his name, and his name was Justin, and he said, "I got saved." Yeah, and I'm a missionary now. Come on. And we hadn't heard from them for years. We did our outreaches down in that area in 96, 97, 98. So it had been years. And he said, "And guess what? My mom and dad got saved." Strong in the Lord, testifying about God. Did I want that family here? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we sowed into that family because we're sowing into the kingdom, and then we have to trust God to take care of his sheep, right? The Lord takes care of his sheep, and he gets them to where they need to be. But what a blessing it was to us to meet someone that we had spent so much time with that family and wondering. You know, because you go back down to the neighborhoods, people move in and out, you know, and then sometimes you just can't find them again. And so we had no idea what had happened to them, but the Lord saved them and brought the whole family together. And he was working as a missionary, and his parents were just right behind him supporting him. So it's God is on the move. We don't know how we're going to affect people by what we share with them, by just saying a prayer with them, you know? You can be in the store and someone say, "Oh, man, the person checking you out, oh, my back hurts. Well, can I pray for you just real quick right here?" And you don't have to go, "Oh, Father," and look around to see if everyone's looking at you. You just say a nice little prayer. Don't draw attention, okay? I've been with people that do that. We laugh about it, but sad but true. Some people do that. It's that, "Look at me, I'm praying in the public place." But the Lord does intervene. He does intervene. And you just don't know what that's going to do to that person's heart. You might not see them healed right that moment, but God might be healing something else. Come on. God is so big. Why do we put him in a box? I believe God wants to say to the church this morning, "I'm breaking all limitations off of you. I'm breaking limitations off of you." Just stand to your feet if you want limitations be broke off of you. Okay, so how many want limitations broke off of them this morning? It's like, "Lord, break off limitations. Break off the limitations of my mind. Break off the limitations, Lord, that I've put on you. Break off, Lord God, the limitations, Lord, of my life, Lord, in every area, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're a God of expansion, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're expanding us, oh God, as you break off the limitations, Lord God, that are in our mind. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the healing of our minds, Lord, that our minds come into agreement with what your word says and what you are doing right now in our lives, Father. You're a right now God, and the kingdom is right now. It's right now. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, Lord, that in the kingdom right now, there's healing and restoration, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, oh God, in our lives right now, Lord, breaking off every limitation, Lord, breaking off tiredness, breaking off weariness, just breaking off the what ifs. What if, what if? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're a God that knows the end from the beginning. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you're bringing clarity into hearts and minds, Lord. Clarity of family situations, Lord. You're bringing clarity and peace, Lord. We speak peace, Lord God, to our families. We speak clarity to our families. We speak the love of God into our families. Whatever the family situation is, whether you're a blended family, a divorced family, God, you can bring your peace into every situation. Father, we just thank you, God, that you are working on behalf of us, Lord, to do what we cannot do for ourselves, Lord. You're calling all of us to you, Lord, to move as one. You just got to get in your mind, imagine moving as one with those that you're related to, with those that you have authority over, those within your sphere. Just imagine in your mind moving as one by the Spirit of God. And I just see the Lord's hand upon families. You might be here by yourself, but you're in the family of God. Hallelujah. And his hand is upon you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as your hand is upon us, Lord, you lead us and guide us. Father, we surrender our life to you. We're not puppets. We're not puppets. You're not pulling our strings. Lord God, we surrender our life to you. Lord, that you will lead us and guide us into all truth. And lead us into those moments of time where our lives will impact other people, Lord. Help us to be a people of impact. Don't you feel that in your spirit? To say, I am God's impact weapon. I'm God's impact weapon. I'm impacting situations wherever I go. I'm a weapon in the Lord's hands. I'm a weapon because I've given him my body. I've given him my life. I've given him everything that I have because of the cause of Jesus Christ. All for the saving of souls. All for the saving of souls. And those that are being held in captivity this morning. God, we just thank you, Lord, for an impact situation, Lord, that would cause the people that are being held as hostages, oh God, to be released in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for an impact into those situations, God. We thank you for supernaturally intervening into those situations, Lord. We thank you for the angels on assignment that you're giving charge over those people, Lord God, to be released in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the impact of the prayers in that area, oh God. We thank you for the Jews that are crying out and praying. And I have a friend that is a rabbi, a Masonic rabbi, Masonic rabbi. But anyway, he said there are over a million born-again Jews that speak in tongues. Over a million. You know, he said, so many people say, oh, those Jews, they need to get saved. He says, well, I always say, well, there's a million of them that talk in tongues already. And so that can just spread like fire. You see what God's doing? He's spreading the gospel of the kingdom wherever they're at. He's supernaturally appearing to people. Supernaturally appearing to people. And people are repenting. There was a Jewish woman on TV that was repenting and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior because he appeared to her. He came to her. Jesus will come to you. Jesus went right to Stephanie when she needed him. And her testimony is so powerful that God just showed up when she needed him and delivered her. Delivered her out of paganism. Brought her out of darkness into his marvelous light. I just had the 700 Club call me this week again regarding her testimony, and they're getting ready to schedule that so that she can be on TV and testify on the 700 Club about the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is doing powerful stuff. And you know what? We need to declare that message wherever we go. God can do it. It looks impossible. It looked impossible for her, but God did it. He showed up. And God wants to show up on your behalf. He's breaking off limitations. Let him say, Lord, break them off. Lord, I come into agreement with your will for my life. So break off the limitations that I've put on myself. Give me your identity. Give me your identity. Because Jesus Christ, you're in me. And I'm in you. So break off all limitations. There's no limitations with Jesus. And we're looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And I just want to share as I read and do share with those in need. Thank you to all who gave for Becky Chin's bathroom project. She had to have floor replaced, and it was a difficult situation, and Becky didn't have the finances. She'd gotten some insurance money, but it wasn't going to meet the $1,200 to $1,800 estimate. And so thank you to those who gave. She said it's all done, it's all paid for, and we give God the glory for it. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Becky sincerely appreciates all of our help. And for those of you who don't know, Becky is our Otis Praiser. Our P-R-A-Y-S-E-R-S is our legal name. And we functioned as Praisers Ministries when we taught here in Elkhart. And it was before we ever planted the church. And Becky's one of our oldest praisers. Not in age, but I mean oldest as far as been with us since before we planted the church. And she was so in tune with what God was doing. Her license plate said Praisers, P-R-A-Y-S-E-R-S. And the reason that's our legal name is we are a group of people who love to pray and intercede and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what's going on in heaven right now, right? So as it is in heaven, let it be done here on the earth. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've done today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're an impact weapon in your hand. I'm going to have to study that a little bit. The Lord just dropped that in my spirit while I was preaching. Thank you, Father, that we leave this place knowing that we are an impact weapon in your hands, oh God. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And let us begin to use that impact right in our own homes, Father. With our own loved ones, Father. With our own prodigals, Lord. We cry out this morning, Lord, that your spirit will move through our families and through our friends, Lord, to bring about your will. And Father God, to just break off the chains, break off the limitations off of our families. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you for all you've done. We have no idea what all that is because we're in the kingdom of God. And it's not, you know, we just don't get to know everything, but we know God is working. Amen. So, Lord, thank you for the work. We receive it, continue it in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen. If you need prayer this morning, we have prayer prophetic teams that will be up here to serve you. So if you need prayer, please come on up to receive prayer. The Lord is in the house for sure. Hallelujah. Tell someone the Lord's in the house. So come on up and receive prayer this morning. And I believe it's Elder Sylvie and Apostle Leonard and Elders Ron and Carol, Jim and Carol, I'm sorry, are our prayer ministers this morning. So if you need prayer or prophetic ministry, come on up. Otherwise, you are released to go and have a blessed week.